Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the host, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today is February 16th, year 2024. You're tuned into the first portion, which lasts about a half hour, where we play chapter 18 of the Quran as following the additions of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that he asked that we read chapter 18 on Fridays. So that's from now from 1:30 Eastern time until about 2 p.m. Eastern time, we will begin the Jummah Khutbah with the Adhan, the first call to prayer, second call to prayer. But first half hour is going to be Quran recitation, which we're going to begin here in a minute. And then at 2 p.m., we will begin the Khutbah sermon. But if you're listening to this on the recording, if you so choose, you can fast forward 30 minutes into the recording to get with the Khutbah. Thank you. Supporting this is from the Nur Allah Islamic Center in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I'm Michael Sahir, the resident now. Thank you for your support. At this time here, we will begin playing chapter 18 of the Quran, titled Al-Kahf, in Arabic, which means cave, in English. So, alhamdulillah. Let me get back to my screen here. It was a glitch. I'm trying to get back to my computer screen here. I'm not sure what's going on here. We had a little problem here. Just hold on for a second. I get back to my blog. I'm not sure what happened. And I lost it. And inshallah, I'll get it right back. And we will begin playing chapter 18 of the Quran. We thank Allah for His mercy, for His power, for His guidance and His protection. At this time here, I think I'm about ready to get back to playing. We can play chapter 18 of the Quran, inshallah. Just give us a second here. Allah says, "Fa'in the ma'a usul yusra." As-salamu alaykum.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu 'iwaja.
Praise be to Allah, who hath revealed the scripture unto his slave, and hath not placed therein any crookedness.
قَيِّمًا لِيُنذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِّن لَّدُنْهُ وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا.
But hath made it straight to give warning of stern punishment from him, and to bring unto the believers who do good works the news that theirs will be a fair reward.
ماكثين فيه أبدا.
Wherein they will abide forever.
وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا.
And to warn those who say, Allah hath chosen a son.
ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم. كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا.
A thing whereof they have no knowledge, nor have their fathers. Dreadful is the word that cometh out of their mouths. They speak naught but a lie.
فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا.
Yet it may be, if they believe not in this statement, that thou, Muhammad, wilt torment thy soul with grief over their footsteps.
إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا.
Lo, we have placed all that is in the earth as an ornament thereof, that we may try them, which of them is best in conduct. And lo, we shall make all that is therein a barren mound.
أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا
Or deemest thou that the people of the cave and the inscription are a wonder among our portents?
إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا
When the young men fled for refuge to the cave and said, Our Lord, give us mercy from thy presence and shape for us right conduct in our plight. Then we sealed up their hearing in the cave for a number of years. And afterward we raised them up that we might know which of the two parties would best calculate the time that they had tarried. We narrate unto thee their story with truth. Lo, they were young men who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance.
وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا
And we made firm their hearts when they stood forth and said, Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We cry unto no God beside Him, for then should we utter an enormity.
هؤلاء قومنا اتخذوا من دونه آلهة لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا
These are people have chosen other gods beside him, though they bring no clear warrant vouchsafed to them. And who doth greater wrong than he who inventeth a lie concerning Allah?
وَإِذِ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا
And when ye withdraw from them and that which they worship except Allah, then seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will spread for you of His mercy. And will prepare for you a pillow in your plight. And thou mightest have seen the sun when it rose, move away from their cave to the right, and when it set, go past them on the left, and they were in the cleft thereof. That was one of the portents of Allah. He whom Allah guideth, he indeed is led aright, and he whom he sendeth astray, for him thou wilt not find a guiding friend.
وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ لَوِ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا
And thou wouldst have deemed them waking, though they were asleep, and we caused them to turn over to the right and the left, and their dog stretching out his paws on the threshold. If thou hadst observed them closely, thou hadst assuredly turned away from them in flight, and hadst been filled with awe of them.
وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فبعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا
And in like manner, we awakened them that they might question one another. A speaker from among them said, How long have ye tarried? They said, We have tarried a day or some part of a day. Others said, Your Lord best knoweth what ye have tarried. Now send one of you with this your silver coin unto the city, and let him see what food is purest there, and bring you a supply thereof. Let him be courteous, and let no man know of you.
إنهم إن يظهروا عليكم يرجموكم أو يعيدوكم في ملتهم ولن تفلحوا إذا أبدا.
For they, if they should come to know of you, will stone you or turn you back to their religion, then ye will never prosper.
وكذلك أعثرنا عليهم ليعلموا أن وعد الله حق وأن الساعة لا ريب فيها. إذ يتنازعون بينهم أمرهم فقالوا بنوا عليهم بنيانا ربهم أعلم بهم قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا.
And in like manner we disclosed them to the people of the city that they might know that the promise of Allah is true and that as for the hour there's no doubt concerning it. When the people of the city disputed of their case among themselves, they said, Build over them a building, their Lord knoweth best concerning them. Those who won their point said, We verily shall build a place of worship over them.
سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفت فيهم منهم أحدا.
Some will say They were three, their dog the fourth, and some say five, their dog the sixth, guessing at random, and some say seven, and their dog the eighth. Say, O Muhammad, my Lord is best aware of their number. None knoweth them save a few. So contend not concerning them except with an outward contending, and ask not any of them to pronounce concerning them.
ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا.
And say not of anything, Lo, I shall do that tomorrow, except if Allah will. And remember thy Lord when thou forgettest And say, It may be that my Lord guideth me unto a nearer way of truth than this. And it is said, They tarried in their cave 300 years and add 9.
قل الله أعلم بما لبثوا له غيب السماوات والأرض أبصر به وأسمع ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه أحدا.
Say Allah is best aware how long they tarried. His is the invisible of the heavens and the earth. How clear of sight is He and keen of hearing. They have no protecting friend beside Him, and He maketh none to share in His government.
وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا.
And recite that which hath been revealed unto thee of the scripture of thy Lord. There is none who can change His words, and thou wilt find no refuge beside Him.
واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا.
Restrain thyself along with those who cry unto their Lord at morn and evening, seeking His countenance. And let not thine eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp of the life of the world, and obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, who followeth his own lust, and whose case hath been abandoned.
وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهَ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا.
Say, it is the truth from the Lord of you all, then whosoever will, let him believe, and whosoever will, let him disbelieve. Lo, we have prepared for disbelievers fire. Its tent encloseth them. If they ask for showers, they'll be showered with water like the molten lead, which burneth the faces. Calamitous the drink, and ill the resting place.
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا.
Lo, as for those who believe and do good works, lo, we suffer not the reward of one whose work is goodly to be lost.
أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس وإستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا.
As for such, theirs will be gardens of Eden, wherein rivers flow beneath them. Therein they will be given armlets of gold, and will wear green robes of finest silk and gold embroidery, reclining upon thrones therein. Blessed the reward, and fair the resting place.
وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا.
Coin for them a similitude, two men, unto one of whom we had assigned two gardens of grape, and we had surrounded both with date palms, and had put between them tillage.
كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا وفجرنا خلالهما نهرا.
Each of the gardens gave its fruit and withheld naught thereof, and we caused a river to gush forth therein.
وكان له ثمر فقال لصاحبه وهو يحاوره أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا.
And he had fruit, and he said unto his comrade, when he spake with him, I am more than thee in wealth and stronger in respect of men.
ودخل جنته وهو ظالم لنفسه قال ما أظن أن تبيد هذه أبدا.
And he went into his garden while he thus wronged himself. He said, I think not that all this will ever perish.
وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رددت إلى ربي لأجدن خيرا منها منقلبا.
I think not that the hour will ever come, and if indeed I am brought back unto my Lord, I surely shall find better than this as a resort.
قال له صاحبه وهو يحاوره أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا.
And his comrade, when he thus spake with him, exclaimed, Disbelievest thou in him who created thee of dust, then of a drop of seed, and then fashioned thee a man?
لكن هو الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا.
But he is Allah, my Lord, and I ascribe unto my Lord no partner.
ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله لا قوة إلا بالله إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا.
If only when thou enteredst thy garden thou hadst said, That which Allah willeth will come to pass. There is no strength save in Allah, though thou seest me as less than thee in wealth and children.
فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِ خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقًا.
Yet it may be that my Lord will give me better than thy garden, and will send on it a bolt from heaven, and some morning it will be a smooth hillside.
أو يصبح ماؤها غورا فلن تستطيع له طلبا.
Or some morning the water thereof will be lost in the earth, so that thou canst not make search for it.
وأحيط بثمره فأصبح يقلب كفيه على ما أنفق فيها وهي خاوية على عروشها ويقول يا ليتني لم أشرك بربي أحدا.
And his fruit was beset with destruction. Then began he to wring his hands for all that he had spent upon it, when now it was all ruined on its trellises, and to say, would that I had ascribed no partner to my Lord.
وَلَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ فِئَةٌ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مُنْتَصِرًا.
And he had no troop of men to help him as against Allah, nor could he save himself.
هنالك الولاية لله الحق هو خير ثوابا وخير عقبا.
In this case is protection only from Allah the true. He is best for reward and best for consequence.
واضرب لهم مثل الحياة الدنيا كماء أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض فأصبح هشيما تذروه الرياح وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا.
And coin for them the similitude of the life of the world as water which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingleth with it, and then becometh dry twigs that the winds scatter. Allah is able to do all things.
المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا.
Wealth and children are an ornament of life of the world, but the good deeds which endure are better in thy Lord's sight for reward, and better in respect of hope.
وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالَ وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا.
And bethink you of the day when we remove the hills, and ye see the earth emerging, and we gather them together, so as to leave not one of them behind.
وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم ألن نجعل لكم موعدا.
And they are set before thy Lord in ranks, and it is said unto them, Now verily have ye come unto us as we created you at the first, but ye thought that we had set no tryst for you.
ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا.
And the book is placed, and thou seest the guilty fearful of that which is therein, and they say, What kind of a book is this that leaveth not a small thing, nor a great thing, but hath counted it? And they find all that they did confronting them, and thy Lord wrongeth no one.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أفتتخذونه وذريته أولياء من دوني وهم لكم عدو بئس للظالمين بدلا.
And remember when we said unto the angels, Fall prostrate before Adam, and they fell prostrate, all save Iblis. He was of the jinn, so he rebelled against his Lord's command. Will ye choose him and his seed for your protecting friends instead of me, when they are an enemy unto you? Calamitous is the exchange for evildoers.
ما أشهدتهم خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت متخذ المضلين عضدا.
I made them not to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth, nor their own creation, nor choose I misleaders for my helpers.
وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدَعَوْهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا.
And be mindful of the day when he will say, Call those partners of mine whom ye pretended. Then they will cry unto them, but they will not hear their prayer, and we shall set a gulf of doom between them. And the guilty behold the fire, and know that they are about to fall therein, and they find no way of escape thence.
وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا.
And verily we have displayed for mankind in this Quran all manner of similitudes, but man is more than anything contentious.
وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا.
And naught hindereth mankind from believing when the guidance cometh unto them, and from asking forgiveness of their Lord, unless it be that they wish that the judgment of the men of old should come upon them, or that they should be confronted with the doom.
وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُدْحِضُوا بِهِ الْحَقَّ وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَمَا أُنذِرُوا هُزُوًا.
We send not the messengers save as bearers of good news and warners. Those who disbelieve contend with falsehood in order to refute the truth thereby, and they take our revelations and that wherewith they are threatened as a jest.
وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُوهُ وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقْرًا وَإِنْ تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى فَلَنْ يَهْتَدُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا.
And who doth greater wrong than he who hath been reminded of the revelations of his Lord, yet turneth away from them and forgetteth what his hands send forward to the judgment? Lo, on their hearts we have placed covering so that they understand not, and in their ears a deafness. And though thou call them to the guidance, in that case they can never be led aright.
وربك الغفور ذو الرحمة لو يؤاخذهم بما كسبوا لعجل لهم العذاب بل لهم موعد لن يجدوا من دونه موئلا.
Thy Lord is the forgiver, full of mercy. If he took them to task now for what they earn, he would hasten on the doom for them. But theirs is an appointed term from which they will find no escape.
وتلك القرى أهلكناهم لما ظلموا وجعلنا لمهلكهم موعدا.
And all those townships, we destroyed them when they did wrong, and we appointed a fixed time for their destruction.
وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu in la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu in la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
That theirs will be a fair reward, wherein they will abide forever. And to warn those who say, Allah hath chosen a son.
مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا.
A thing whereof they have no knowledge, nor have their fathers. Dreadful is the word that cometh out of their mouths. They speak naught but a lie.
فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا.
Yet it may be, if they believe not in this statement, that thou, Muhammad, wilt torment thy soul with grief over their footsteps.
إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا.
Lo, we have placed all that is in the earth as an ornament thereof, that we may try them, which of them is best in conduct.
وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا.
And lo, we shall make all that is therein a barren mound.
أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا.
Or deemest thou that the people of the cave and the inscription are a wonder among our portents?
إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا.
When the young men fled for refuge to the cave and said, Our Lord, give us mercy from thy presence and shape for us right conduct in our plight.
فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا.
Then we sealed up their hearing in the cave for a number of years.
ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا.
And afterward we raised them up, that we might know which of the two parties would best calculate the time that they had tarried.
نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى.
We narrate unto
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu in la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu in la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya Allah Salah. Hayya Allah Salah. Hayya Allah Salah. Hayya Allah Salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. I seek refuge, protection with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy, the openly avowed enemy to mankind. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, merciful twice. Merciful in Ar-Rahman, and that is the mercy for one that gives us benefits, blessings, just by us being human beings. Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim, mercy again. For those who have came into the consciousness of Allah and righteousness and get a special additional blessing. Now this additional blessing is available for everybody on earth, but some choose to disqualify themselves from it. Nonetheless, Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. I bear witness that there is no God except God, and one God, and there is none, nothing like unto him whatsoever. أشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. And we bear witness that Muhammad, صلى الله عليه وسلم, that is the praise and peace be upon him, is Allah's slave, servant, and messenger to humanity, from Allah to humanity, not just to Muslims. He's the messenger of Allah to Linnas, all people. Pray that peace be upon the Prophet and upon his family, wa ala alihi, his family, wa sahaba, his companions, Ismail wa Mabad, and upon us all, Ameen. Hey, beloved Muslims and guests, assalamu alaikum. And we ask Allah to bless this Juma for Muslims around the world. The special day of the week that we really look forward to. I look forward to Juma. And with the believers. Remind me at the end, we need to make Janazah Bil Ghaib. Janazah's funeral. Bil Ghaib means unseen. I just got notice coming over here, a long-time brother in my community. He's been in Atlanta for a long time. Brother Khalid Khan, he passed away. And Brother Khalid Khan go way back. He and Brother Khalil, they go back to the 60s together. Yeah, so if I forget, we can make Janazah Bil Ghaib. Janazah Bil Ghaib is saying they had the funeral without the body being present. The physical body of the deceased is not there, but you still have the Janazah prayer for him. We thank Allah, highly glorified is He, for the guidance He has given humanity. We thank Allah even more that He blessed us to be those who open their eyes to see it. That's a big blessing, right? Yes, I do, all right? The banner, Lati Zit Kalubana, all right? Bayad Jethadetana. Allah, let not our hearts deviate. Now, since you guided us right. You know, a lot of times people, they say, oh, yeah, you know, I bought so-and-so in the Islam. You ain't bring nobody in the Islam. You ain't bring yourself in the Islam, right? It was Allah's mercy that brought you in the Islam. Yeah, you want credit for something they didn't do, right? So we say, Allah, you guided us right. The banner, lie, let me know to zit, go astray. Kalubana, the heart, let not my heart deviate. Now since you guided us right, the grant to us from your presence, your mercy. For you the one that grant without measure. Wahab, Wahab is... You know, people don't hijack and said about the Wahhabis. That was the best thing, but the Wahhabi and the Quran when we walked. Yes, yes. You can't measure Wahhab. You can't measure it. No kind of way. Our brain's not big enough to have the capacity to measure Allah's mercy to us. So Allah gave us an easy way out. It's powerful. It's an easy way out. It's powerful. We can say what? Alhamdulillah. We ain't got to figure it out. We can't weigh it. We can't measure it. We can't count it. We can say, with our head down, humble, we say, Alhamdulillah. We got a book in called Numbers. Muhammad said Numbers. right? Genesis, Exodus, right? Deuteronomy and all that. We got one called Numbers. You can't count. Even in our heads right now, we can't count to the end of Numbers. It's impossible. Totally impossible. See, yeah, you got to be a last number. Okay, when you get there, I'm going to add one on to it. And keep counting. You can't count to the end of Numbers. You can't count Allah's blessings. We are grateful for all of them. Alhamdulillah, he was allowed to meet. Dear beloved Muslims, we want our religion to be understood by us individually. That Islam or El-Islam is a conscious thing. It's a conscious involvement. It's a conscious act. Is not to be habitual. We are not to allow our religion to become just a habit, just a routine, just something we do because we Muslims. We don't never want to allow our religion to become like that in our minds, definitely not in our hearts. We want to keep the consciousness all the time in our religion. I've seen some brothers and sisters that make salah so often that when they begin, when you first try to do it, you talk right. Raise your hands to your ears, right? And say, Allahu Akbar, right? But they didn't pray so many times, they hardly get up to their shoulders, Allahu Akbar. You can tell it's just a habit now. No, do not allow your religion to become a habit, just a mere habit. Just a mere routine. Shaitan wants that to happen to us. He wants to become relaxed. It ain't like tying your shoe up. You know, you can tie your shoe up and not even look down your shoe no more. When the first time you tied your shoe up, oh man, it was a serious study, right? And you, okay? Then after a while, even now, we tie our shoe up, we talking about this and our mind somewhere else and tie the shoe up. That's different. In religion or Islam, we repeat things and we should grow in elevation with each repetition. We should grow in depth of understanding with each repetition. So we pray five times a day. We fast every Ramadan, right? We do these things. But it cannot be that which becomes a habit. Or repetition. We are told in the Quran in chapter 6, verse 68, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ. When you see men engaged in vain discourse about our signs, turn away from them. When you see people, they know the signs of Allah, but it's just conversation with them anymore. It's not dedication. It's not focus. It's not building their Islamic life. It's just conversation. They have no meat on the bones. No substance there. And then there are some who are worse. They talk about God as if he's a joke. Yeah, did you hear this joke? And they throw God in there like he's just a utensil for a joke. Allah says that when you see such people doing that, Allah says, for other reason, and who turn away from them unless they change the conversation. So this right here is giving us a clear understanding that we just don't sit idle or in environments and sit idle knowing that they are defaming Allah, they are defaming the Prophet, they are defaming the religion, and I don't care if they're Muslims. We turn away from such activity. We turn away from such people. We can't accept that. Because once we get into an environment and the environment is not conducive to, but it's healthy and wholesome for our religion, and we stay there, we become part of the problem. We become part of the issue. We are no longer the solution. We are the problem. And in particular, if we know what Allah says and we know how the religion is to be, we cannot let our religion become just a habit and we sit around those who take the religion lightly. We owe the Prophet more than that. The sacrifices he made, the Sahabas, his companions made, and over the many, many thousand years now, we owe them the respect that they paid a serious price for what we have here today. So no, we don't take our religion lightly. We don't take our religion for play. And we don't be around those who conduct themselves and Allah says turn away from them unless they engage in a different hadith. What it says, unless they engage in a fi hadith, then a different hadith, right? That's the word in the Quran, hadith. Darihi wa inma, right? But it says wa inma you siyanaka, but if you forget, shaitan, if shaitan makes you forget. Sometimes we get relaxed, you know, we get low our guards down. We in good company, but the conversation ain't right. So Satan, he make us forget. It says, after you remember, after you remember, oh, what in the world am I, what's going on? Why am I being finding comfort in this environment that's not being supportive of a conscious Islam? Shaitan made me forget. When you remember, then you leave their company. You leave their company. So this is important for us as believers, for Muslims, that our religion is too important, too well orchestrated by Allah, for us not to make the best of it. Allah created the religion to suit the very nature that he gave us. A lot of religions can't say that because they put down the nature that Allah made. Make mistake. The Quran comes to correct all those big mistakes. And that believers never forget this. Everything in the Quran, and in particular on big issues, is designed to correct some big problem that humanity has went through one way or another. Al-Fatiha begins by addressing the big problems that have damaged the human family. Al-Fatiha, that's the first words, right? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's addressing Allah as mercy, right? But it is addressing Allah as mercy, Rahman and Rahim, because the people in the past had confused the issue and had messed up people. They thought that one guy was stern and mean and the other one was nice and sweet. And they divided the Godhead into three. So the Quran got to come back and correct. That's a big problem for humanity. So when we have the Tawheed, the oneness, there's only one conversation in my head now. Yes? God is one and only one? That clears up a conversation. Right? So, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. All the worlds? He's Lord of all the worlds? Like he's just the Lord of Israel. He caused problems to this day. Huh? So everything in the Quran, and in particular on big issues that have affected humanity throughout the eons of years, the Quran comes as a completion and a correction, and a confirmation, as a critique of that which came before. But if we go to the point to where our religion is just habitual, just routine, we're going to, knowingly or unknowingly, we're going to lower our guards, we're going to lower our defenses, and Shaitan says, I got them. Yeah, they're still praying. They still fasting in Ramadan. They even still going on Hajj. But they just going through the motions habitually. Lost the consciousness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us. Lost the intent, the purpose. What is this knowledge saying to us at the same time pushing us toward of a destiny as human beings? Many Muslims have lost that. They don't know. They don't think outside of what someone else tells them. I'll tell you what I found out for myself. Nothing against the sheikhs and the ulamas, whatever, but Allah gave you a brain. Use it. Yes? He told them in the Quran plainly, on judgment day, your mama and your daddy can't help you. You ain't know somebody to tell you what Allah says, and your eyes work. Right? You know how to read. You got a brain. You know how to think. So we have to respect scholars. Don't get me wrong. I want to make this plain. But in the end, it tells us on the judgment day, you can't call on anybody. Nobody except, it says, you and your Lord, bearing alone. Alone. Yes. And they're going to say, well, so-and-so, so, or this, or Shaitan. Shaitan, according to the Quran, Shaitan's going to say, uh-uh. He said, no. He said, yeah, I know I didn't invite you to do wrong, but you were kind of interested anyway. You were interested in what I was saying. Yeah. You have to have a consciousness and awareness. Well, how do you keep this consciousness? How do you keep this awareness? Study. Study Allah's words. Study Allah's creation. Allah tells us in the Quran, do these things, right? Believe me, everything I'm saying, all the answers are in the Quran. But if you're not studying where the answer is, then you're going to be out there, you're going to be lost. You can't follow a crowd. You cannot follow, you should not, he says, Allah says, believe in Allah right, and follow the prophet. He never said follow the crowd. It don't say that in the Quran. It says, we worship Allah, believe in Allah, we follow the prophets. Right? You obey the leaders amongst you. You got to follow Rasulullah. You got to follow him. And there's tons and tons of wisdom yet to be revealed just from the life of the prophet alone. Much more in the Quran, but you understand it, the Quran and the prophet are one. They are one. Aisha, Allah be pleased with her, she explained it to us. So dear beloved Muslims, don't let Shaitan get you sleeping, snoozing on the job, to where your religion is habitual, unconscious, learn things by rote. They said it. I'm going to say it the way they said it. Therefore, your Islam, okay, I don't want to say it that way. Your choice to be uneducated because you want to parakeet somebody. You know, parakeet, just say what someone else said. Parakeet, he had his own brain to teach himself anything. You cannot have that kind of religion. And expect to be free and expect for this religion to be to us a testimony to the world that Allah is God. Yes. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for giving us a religion. But we have to be conscious in our religion. There are those, someone sent me a video the other day, called himself being funny, that the Catholic Church invented Islam. Yeah, I said, is that right? So I watched a bit of it. Right? About, and the Muslims, they worship the moon. And on top of their mosque, you see the moon, the crescent moon. Yeah, this is what they're saying. I said, oh, poor thing. Excuse me. Got to get Dutch. Oh, poor thing. Pitiful poor thing. The Quran says, Allah made the sun and the moon to keep track of time. That's a mercy to us. Some say, oh, they pray to their black house over there. So the Quran corrects that too. He said, no, you pray to the Lord of that house. You don't pray to the house.
So why you all face toward the house? Because we want humanity. Everybody in the world face toward that one humanity. Can you hear that in yours? Yes? So be conscious Muslims, curious-minded Muslims, and the curious-minded, the Fujuraha, right? The Fujuraha, that curious mind, has to have protection by the Taqwaha. What's was that? I'm not sure now. Allah said the Fujuraha and the Taqwaha. The curious mind must have its companion, the God consciousness, to protect it from going astray, from going wrong. So, dear Muslims, tell our other Muslim brothers and sisters, I guess around the world, come back to the Uswa of Rasulullah, this character, peace upon the Prophet. Come back to that. And if your teachers, your sheikhs or whatever, go to them and learn from them. They are not bringing you back to the excellence of the character of Muhammad. Well, you have to judge them accordingly. Yes. Never reject knowledge when it comes to you. But you have to have a guideline for protecting yourself from it, from any knowledge that comes. You got to have a filter. You know how they used to go dig for gold? They would put the paint in the water, then they would sift it and find the gold and pick out the gold nuggets. That's how we have to be as Muslims. So let us ask Allah for his protection and for his guidance. You got to ask. That's what du'a means. Du'a means you're asking for something. You're begging for something. Oh, Allah, help me. Guide me. Protect me. Protect our families. Protect the believers. That's du'a. The salat, that's the five prayers a day, right? But even in that, you have du'as in that. So let us be Muslims who are thankful, grateful, appreciative of the mercies of Allah. And keep that in our prayers. The banner latches the Kulubana. Pray Adith Hadaytana. Wahabana Miladuk Rahmadan. In that car at our Wahab. And Lord, let not our hearts deviate. And since you have guided us right, to grant to us in your presence your mercy, for you, the one that granted our measure. Amen. That is the perfect praise belong to God. A focus I want to share in the second part of the khutbah is speaking about our life of this community in Nurullah, this particular masjid. And the lessons that we've had, some difficulties. As I mentioned earlier, you know, you see, in that Allah, in that Allah, you write your own, passing my brother Khalil by September, from the college in Atlanta, he passed. And others are getting up in age, we all getting older, right? And we thank Allah for the life he has given us, individually and as a community. And we need to share with our children and for those who are just coming around that though we are a small community life through its various stages of development, we go back to the 1950s here in Indianapolis. And Allah is God and Muhammad, Islam, Quran, and not knowing anything about Ramadan or Salat, but there was a reawakening taking place around America within the African-American community. Going back to the 1920s, 1930s, 100 years now, of various people from coming into the United States trying to reconnect the former slaves to Islam, and with various degrees of success. But we don't take that lightly. Even though they didn't have Islam proper, we don't take that lightly. Why? The baby in the womb in the first month, in the second month, you look at it and you say, what is that? Kind of disfigured, got a big old head, and right? I'm going to look like a tadpole at one point. You say, well, what is that? You got to be patient. It's like when the angels sing Adam in his infancy. He said, you're going to do what? You're going to make a man? You're going to cause bloodshed and mischief while we celebrate your holy praises, right? They are dignified, but we celebrate your holy praises. You can make that, and want us to bow to that too? Allah says what? I know what you know not. Well, that's the same with the baby in the womb. You look at that baby, and that's why people can dull their conscious mind and having an abortion like it ain't nothing, because they can't see the human yet in that baby in his early stages in the womb. And then that's the same way as the community of Muslims. Early in our development, Nation of Islam, right? Even a Maori Science Temple or whatever. That was the early development of coming into Elder Islam of a people who were just a generation ago right out of slavery. Huh? And not just any kind of slavery. You got to go to the Encyclopedia Britannica. They mention our slavery, but they always put a word in front of the word slavery. Peculiar. Peculiar. In other words, man, we see slavery over here in this country or in that country or 1,000 years ago. But this slavery here in the USA put on these Africans, man, we ain't seen that one yet. Huh? That's a new, I said, man, that is a peculiar. Odd, unusual slavery. What were they saying? Most times people can be enslaved and they can at least be in their own land because they've been conquered, right? But they know their land. They know the terrain. But they're taken out of the terrain, they still kept their religion or their language, right? Or they, or some people, they volunteered for slavery because they were so poor, right? They volunteered for slavery, right? But this slavery here is like, man, we took everything from them. Name, yeah, religion, God, dress, food. We took everything from them. And there was one representative from Virginia, I can't think of his name, that they said if we can just get that spark out of them, we would have them reduced to the animal of the field. But they couldn't get to that soul. They even then call it soul people. Soul train, soul music, right? So now, this slavery here is a peculiar soul. Here we are, just barely a generation removed from slavery. And people begin to come and say, well, you know, y'all were Muslims before. Well, that's that baby in the womb that's only 3 or 4 months now, right? But here we are now with this community. We went through their stages. Now, Allah has blessed us with Imam W.D. Muhammad to come into the Quran and the life model of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the same as you do not deny that baby first month, second month, fourth month, eighth month in the womb, you don't deny any of those developmental stages because they all count toward the complete baby in the end. Well, the same for us here. We ain't denying any of our stages of development. That Allah brought us through that. We didn't do this. Allah did this. Don't apologize for what Allah done. And he comes back out the womb. Can't walk, can't talk, can't sing his own behind. Well, you need a sweet thing. You be playing with it, right? Because she don't, there's a potential. Baby represents potential. Whenever you read in scriptural language, and it says baby, it's really saying potential. It said, why did you bury the female child alive? What's it really saying? Why did you deny her her potential before it had a chance to manifest? And that's still going on today. Women get paid less than men. It's still going on today. It's really a shame. A damnable shame. In some Muslim society, talking about honor killings. I can't find that in the Quran. I can't find that in the Exodus model of Muhammad. What happened? Somebody became habitual in their Islam. Somebody became unconscious in their Islam. I was in Sudan one time, and they asked a sister about that. And they asked the Muslim sister, Christian sisters with us, and they asked the Muslim sister about that, about the genital mutilation. Not making plain. Where they sold the woman's vagina shut on she can pee. What's it in the Quran? What's it in the life of Muhammad? And then the sister, she explained it. She said that was pharaonic. I said pharaonic. They finally hit me. Oh, that came from the old ancient time of Pharaoh, and Muslims, Christians, and Jews all done it. But it's not a Islamic tradition. It was a cultural tradition. But when you become unconscious to your Islam, those things could come in. Bury the female child alive. Bury them while they're alive. It means you killed their potential before it had a chance to manifest what Allah had put in it. Yes. So study Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Study him in his life, his character. Even before he came into Revelation, study his life. His whole life is a message to us. He said, where? The Quran says what? He said, Muhammad, tell them you have already lived a whole lifetime amongst them. In other words, his character, his example before Revelation was enough. We just followed that. That's why he's called Al-Amin, before Revelation. Because his character was just that well together, but it came to a point where now Allah put it on his heart and gave it to us in a more scientific way, well, what he called revelation. His life before, so study the whole life of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when people come to us with that dumb stuff talking about Muslims worship the moon, I don't know how the Muslims adopted the moon, put on all these masthead, because the prophet didn't have a dome, let alone a crescent moon on top. I see what he, my mama told us. He said he believes there were learned Christians and learned Jews who pretended to be Muslim and worked their way in amongst the Muslim thinkers and interjected Christian and Jewish thought in it. Huh? Yeah. Because when we go back to the original source, and thank Allah, we the only ones got the original source. We got it. If we go back to the original sources and say, well, we can't find that, what you're doing in your culture or your society. And the prophet, peace be upon him, but God wraps us up. The prophet, in his mercy, he says, if you go to a society, and they have their cultural food, their cultural dance, their cultural whatever, and it's not going against the Quran, he said, respect it. Yeah? If it's un-Islamic, then you got to teach them better. So we have to respect culture and religion. But when we see in many societies, some of Muslim societies, they are doing things and practicing things that are that is not in keeping with the life model of Muhammad. So our community life are neural ourselves. We came through various stages of development. Okay, and as I said before, we respect those various level stages of development. And Allah has blessed us with an excellent teacher and excellent information to where we, who came through this evolution, don't have to go outside and get someone's help to guide us. We don't have to. We got the Quran ourselves. We have a learning teacher, Imam Muhammad, ourselves. But we go and we exchange because we can always learn from each other. I can learn from you. You can learn from me. We learn from each other. So we are left, both of us in the church. Both of us, African Americans, we came out of church. We had questions. Oh, Lord have mercy, we had questions. So wait a minute. You said, what? This? No, it ain't making sense. So we came to Islam. Because I love you, I respect you. Even though the church I was raised in, I got a lot of love for that church. And I ain't ashamed to say it. So good people in there. You get some of the theological things that kind of like what Luke Moss advice to his son. You know, say, hey, you know, if keep good company with them, but if they try to take you off on a tangent on something that ain't right, you don't obey that. And that's how I feel about the church I raised here, Church of Christ. Good church. Good people. To this day, as far as I know, I ain't been in about 40, 50 years, but it's in my way. I sit on the street. Good people. And I was there, good people. But I just couldn't understand certain things. I remember I was 4 years old. My sister, she lined with me and my sister up. We standing side by side. She facing us. And she said, I may have been five. She said, God is God. We said, okay, God is God. Jesus is Jesus. Okay, Jesus is Jesus. And then she said, and Jesus and God are the same. And I was 4 years old. I looked at her, and I said, how's that? I said, how are they going to be the daddy and the son at the same time? She looked at me. She was locked the brain for about 4 or 5 seconds. She put her hand on the hip. She said, because mama and daddy say so. They very words to me. I looked at my eye, and my mother and father were standing right there looking at us. This is back in a very long time ago. Mama and daddy said that was it. But in my mind, that stayed with my mind, right? Then fast forward 10, 15 years, here come the Muslims. And all the questions we had, like, oh, man, the Muslims got an answer. Yeah. And that was the black version of Islam, called Nation of Islam. They got answers. Oh, yeah. So we cherish those stages of evolution. And we keep them because we still got people in our family and friends who are still over there, and we in the spirit of Harriet Tubman. We got to go back. Harriet Tubman got out of that situation on the plantation. She was free. Her body was free, not in her soul, not in her mind. She said, I got to go back. And she went back over and over again. She freed. They stayed 300. When they gave her a war and later on, they gave her a war and said, Harriet Tubman, you freed 300 of them. You know what Harriet Tubman said? I could have freed a lot more. I couldn't convince them they were slaves. They were happy being dominated, being oppressed. That's where we're at now, dear brothers and sisters. We can't get in the masjid and get mishrack and thick of bees and making ruckus all day long, and our people still out there suffering. Did you read the headlines last night? Did you hear that siren going by right now? That's a call to us to take to the people Muhammad and the Quran. Huh? That's our call. But now we habitual Muslims. We routine Muslims. I'm going to the masjid, Muslim. I'm going fast, Muslim. And all around us is pure hell. And Rasulullah didn't stand for that, did he? He'll get together with some brothers. Okay, we got to go take care of this problem. Knock on the door sometime. They said, we came here to share the people of Islam. So you can open your doors, and we'll be back tomorrow. We open them for, open your doors for you. Because we got the work, they're in there suffering. We got work to do. So if you get up here and bitch you a Muslim, I'm Muslim, yawning and stretching, thicker and thicker and thicker, fasting around with doctor, be belching and eating dates, and you happy, that kind of Muslim? Oh, I'm out for that. I'm out for that. Pick up time. Duty time. You ain't got to be proud. You ain't got to be arrogant. You got to do the flesh of sign. I'm looking. I'm looking. Yes, he has Muhammad against the people, and they will see. It's not our job. It's Allah's job. It's our job to carry the message. Teach what you know. That's our job. You're not confused about it. At all. And we ain't trying to be no copycat message off of anybody. You hear me? I won't hurt nobody's feelings, especially mine. So I'm telling it again. I won't be a copycat message off of anybody. So what do you mean? I'm not Pakistani. I'm not Arabian. I'm not European. And culturally and mentally, I'm not even African. I don't know African culturally speaking. If I be in the book and go visit, I'm African American. I want to be who Allah made me to be. And then I'd be a free Muslim. Be a free man in the city. Man means mine. Man means mine. If I call men, toe, right? Man means mine. I'd be a free man in the city. So who freed you? The same one that freed Bilal ibn Rabah. Look around in the prophet. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless us with the humility of Muslims. The humility of Muslims. We're not proud. We're not arrogant. Everything I know, I got for something else. I come here and didn't know anything. I was here for a long time before I knew I was here. So I ain't got no background like you. We thank Allah for that. We share what we know with others. Oh, Allah, grant us good in this life. Grant us good in life to come. And protect us from the torment of fire to sin. Ameen. God comes to Salat. He comes.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya Allah. Hayya Allah. God comes to Salat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha
illallah. La ilaha illallah. The way to Salat al-Jumma. Rakatain, the last of Allah is talking like Abba. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين الحق متقاطع قد زرتم المكابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لا تعلمون ما يكين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها على يقين ثم لتسألون يومئذ عن النعيم الله أكبر سمي الله لمحمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر
الله أكبر
سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
For those who can stay, we're going to do a Janazah Bidite. We have a brother in the community. He got words he passed. We live in Atlanta, Georgia, for a college con. He was a member of our community for going back to the 60s, really. He passed in Atlanta. He born and raised in Indianapolis. His name before was Clifton Pond, C-O-N-N. When he changed his name, he said it was Collet Pond, K-A-H-N. So I didn't say his name right. But he was here when I came through the doors from 45, 50 years ago. He was already here. So you make the announcement, either guy, you can line up for the prayer. There's no Roku. You know how to pray, right?
Yeah.
So there's no Roku. First, Takbir, we say a Fatiha. Second Takbir, we do the prayer of Abraham. Third Takbir, we do the dua for him, for yourself. The third Takbir for him and his family, the believers. So we have two roles here, about to be 30 roles. The way to set up the genius of the guy for public housing. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah. So we pray for the soul of our brother Carly Khan. May Allah forgive him for all his sins. And we grant him entry into the paradise with the believers, Jennifer Deuce. And we say thank you for transitioning. I mean, and bless the family with understanding during this difficult time. Yes, alhamdulillah. So, are there any announcements? Alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah. Second day, it's going to be here. Second day on Sunday, 25th. Okay. Okay, that's what I'm making. For those who are on the internet, I'll pay a tip by Imam Muhammad. Brother Shabiz, Mahmoud, the teacher, Mustafa, Jerome, Robert Sikhan, Robert Pazigo. Okay. If you want to call this number here, 714-816-4673, you'll be on the internet. So we're going to turn this Facebook off. And on there, we're going to play your audio of the name Muhammad. So, yes, weekend school this Sunday, weekend school on Sunday. So we'll be here for that, inshallah. Okay. So here, I'm going to go to the other one. I'm going to taking so long for. Hold on, people. I'm trying to get this. Let me get the engine. Somebody ended this. Oh, man. Who did that? Somebody ended the broadcast. I didn't do it. Oh, yeah. It's gone. I said, well, I wonder why it works in my words.
Tucked in. Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be unto you. Thank you, Imam Omar Shaheed. I begin with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That is in the name of God, the gracious, the compassionate. We pray blessings, the promise upon Muhammad the Prophet, upon his descendants, his companions, the Muslims, the righteous all. Ameen. And upon us here be peace. Also, I would like to at this time to express my appreciation for the opportunity to address you here in Atlanta, Georgia, at this convention center. I was surprised to see the great numbers here. I didn't expect this large a gathering. I heard of the business workshops that were planned in good time to be knowledgeable of what would occur here today. And also, I was aware of the support from distinguished business brothers and sisters in this area that I've come to appreciate and admire very much after hearing of their patience and hard work, and now the progress that they are realizing. I don't want to name any of them, but we are very happy with the fine persons and progress that you are making in the way of business in Atlanta, Georgia, and the area here. We pray Allah's blessings be upon your efforts and that you will enjoy constant growth and increase in business that will be a blessing and a great help not only to the Muslims, your families and the Muslims, but also to the people of Atlanta and elsewhere. If anywhere we have progress and good works and progress, it benefits all. I don't want to alarm anybody or to make people think that the situation is worse now than it has been, but there are some concerns that when brought before us and we recognize them, make possible better performance on the part of all of us that want to better our condition. I believe that when we look at the immediate time that we are aware of, the last maybe 5 years or so, when we look at that time period, I would say that we're doing better. And I'm talking firstly of the Muslim community, the Muslims. But I am also including the non-Muslims too, of the African-American people and struggling masses, thriving, hard-working masses are neglected masses in this country. I recall being very much aware of the mood in this country, the trend, the spiritual trend, the direction that we were headed in spiritually 10 years ago, 7, 8 years ago, and it was frightening. It was frightening to see so many people happily going to hell. But in the last, I would say, 3, 4, even 5 years, I've seen a change. I've seen more serious people making themselves known, making their position known, making their commitment known, that they're on the side of health, morality, strong families, aggressive communities. And that has been very refreshing for me, because I was very upset to see the mass spirit of the American masses just going happily down the road to hell. It hasn't been all, changed for the better, because we know that the abuse of life, family abuse, teenage pregnancy, crime, especially drug abuse, has been on the rise, and it's still on the rise. So it's not all progress. There are some very sad things that we have to look at too. But once a people's spirit changes, there's hope for them. And I believe that America, especially African America, Black America, is in a better situation now than it was 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago or more. It's in a much better situation. But there's much yet to be done, and many of us, we fail to see the value, the benefit of moral preaching. We don't see much in an effort to raise or to awaken the conscience of people. We'd rather give our attention and our support to political movements or economic movements. But what we need more than anything else as a people, and it's not only us now, we can include the poor masses of America. We're all in the same situation. But I'm mainly addressing the African-American situation because there are more of us and more of us dependent on outside circumstances for our tomorrow, for our life supports. Whereas many of the Hispanic and other ethnic groups in this country, where poverty exists for them just as it exists for us, have a determination to manage their life, to better their financial situation, even if it means suffering for a long time, putting out a lot of energy to get little. And that's something that we still have to develop in the striving poor and the neglected poor of the African-American man. I believe that I can best help by sharing with you the information, the observations that seem most important to me in offering some answer or pointing some way to a better life. And I believe that success and failure for people in America depends most of all on their awareness of the condition or the situation for them in America. I don't think that African-American people are aware of reality for them as citizens of America. And it's because we have had to give our mind and spirit and soul to freedom struggle, civil rights, to defending our equal human worth in a land that once enslaved us, segregated us, brutalized us, rejected us, etc. And even now, when the land and the law has changed, we still spend too much energy on race issue. So it's because of that past conditioning and past necessity and conditioning in our life that we even now cannot put ourselves in a situation to take advantage of opportunity in America. There is always opportunity in America. Wherever there is freedom, there is always opportunity. And all of us are free to go out of our home, to seek employment, to sit in our homes, and think our way out of our situation, to go outside and try to start a business or start a movement. We're free to do those things. But there is little spirit in the public, the poor public of America, for anything other than immediate pleasures. Most of us, we're taken away from the serious concerns by an invitation to have immediate pleasure. It can be a party, it can be a dance, it can be a celebration, but whatever it is, most of our people tend to rush to it if it offers immediate pleasure.
Our brothers and sisters in the audience, all of you according to our religious teaching, are born honorable. So I greet all of you honorable people, and the greetings of peace, the greetings of every prophet from Abraham to Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. I would like to first thank Brother Abdul Rahman Uthman. And I ask him to carry my personal thanks to Dr. Raouf, the Director of the Islamic Center in Washington, D.C., for coming and bringing me a gift that is indeed in my heart the most valuable gift that anyone can give, and that is the gift of the Word of Almighty God, the Holy Quran, and also for his lovely gift of beautiful reflecting pictures of the Holy House
the Holy Mosque and the surroundings there in the holy city of Mecca. Being once here in Philadelphia as a resident, as a minister here over the Temple of Islam number 12, makes me at this moment feel a bit heavy-hearted, almost lost for words. Being received as I have been received here today, we were met at the airport with a motorcade that was so long that I thought some other important person must have been in front of me somewhere. And then coming here and seeing this rostrum here increase in dignity with the presence, by the presence of Mrs. Goldie Watson, the deputy mayor, and by Mr. Clarence Farmer, chairman of the Commission of Human Relations, and by Mr. David Coleman, Commissioner of Records. The only people from the city government that I saw, I met personally when I was here before, was the police. This is really a big change. And all I can say is Muhammad's Temple of Islam number 12, under your great minister, Jeremiah, keep on keeping on. We don't believe in spooks. But I truthfully can say the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is happy right now. And Sister Clara Muhammad is happy right now. And that one stranger that introduced them to this way of life, Master W.F. Muhammad, is happy right now. Subject for you today that we have to explain, because we don't want to be taken for show off, you know. The subject for today is We Make the World. I know that subject sounds big for us. One in his own thoughts might say, I wonder if that man had really thought over his subject. How these upstairs we poor and weak of the world we small world Muslims, how can they get the nerve to come out with a subject like that? We make the world. Well, brothers and sisters, And we are by nature brothers and sisters. Whether we recognize it or not, we have the same creation. We have the same biological family. We speak the same language. And we share one common history. Our suffering is one. Well, we aren't brothers and sisters, and I would like for somebody to teach me what brothers and sisters mean. I'd like to say to you that the job of remaking the world is not too big for you. It's too big for everybody else but you. But it's not too big for you. Because Almighty God, not just today, not just yesterday, but for thousands of years, Almighty God has been making you big enough for this job. And today we hope to bring you understanding that will enable you to see exactly what we mean when we say that you are big enough for this job. First, maybe we should say something on the need to remake the world. If the world has been made right, there's no need to remake it. But if the world has been made wrong, then it needs remaking. So I'm a kind of unorthodox preacher, minister, or speaker, whatever you want to call me today. So bear with me and have patience. And if I should do something that may guess you move around in a manner that suggests that I don't know the proper formalities or etiquette for this kind of pulpit and this kind of gathering, then you just excuse me, because I was brought up in a different school. First thing they should have done was acquaint me with this advanced technology they got up here. They got some strange equipment up here that I might desire to use, but all I can do now is just look at it. I see a pencil, so I know there's some place for me to write. I don't think I'm primitive now just because this thing is strange. Now we're too near the fountain of knowledge to behave as a primitive in a jungle. The white man's modern inventions, they invite our intellectual curiosity, but they don't in any way appeal to our need to worship something. We worship only that is supreme and superior. And this to us is a good product of a graphic world. A big child whose body makes us think that the child must be adult, because he's grown so tall and materially he weighs so much, 6 trillion tons. But we know something that weighs much more than that, you see. And we are happy to see the Caucasian that we adopted long time ago and turned the physical world over to them. We are happy to see them now showing us that they did learn something about it. Our adopted children make us feel proud. Yes, sir. We don't like to call them boys. But if we can be excused, we like to say boy. You've done all right with what we gave you. All praise is due to Allah. Not the Caucasian mentality, but all praise is due to Allah. We know what Caucasian mentality has done for the world. It has raised up mounds of dirt, but has buried with those mounds human beings. And that doesn't speak well for the adopted children in the presence of their father. We didn't only leave with them a great sign of material know-how in the pyramid and in other great city systems that they found buried under the sand, that revealed that we had technology long before we turned our world over to them. We also left them wisdom, knowledge that was designed to develop and preserve civilization. But they, rushing out of the caves and hillsides of West Asia, called Europe, as little children, mentally, morally, and spiritually, rushed and foot-picked up those things that attract little children. Iron, stone, and began working with those things, forming weapons of physical war. And when we looked around, all of a sudden we noticed that the newly arrived man on the scene of civilization was not in fact a man, but a grown-up in physical form with a child's mind. But when the general population of black people had discovered this, it was already too late. Our wise leaders had allowed these children to come into material power. And that power at that particular time was mainly a power for war. They came with gunpowder from the Asians. They came with steel and with iron. And they won a battle or struggle with us for rule in the earth. They got Africa, which was not then called Africa, and put the name of two of their great men on that continent. Africanus, the warrior who battled Hannibal, and Africanus, the explorer. They put their name on the continent of the black people that they had subdued. Then they cut up the land and put their own names on the land and divided the people into nations that were really one nation, and put increased hostility between the families of Africa. During that same time, they brought our forefathers from that land and put them in physical bondage here in North America, and in Central America, and even in South America, but mainly here in North America. Here in North America, they established a whole social system of community supported by slavery. The plantation life. And they stripped us of all the knowledge that we had of our motherland and people. And as soon as the parents gave birth to children for slavery, they cast the parent away and saved the children. Separated the parent from the children so the parent wouldn't be able to teach the children. Their land and their people. If you cut off from the knowledge of your people, and then someone also cuts you off from tradition of your people, then you are helpless to find your way back home. You can't find your way back home because you don't have books to read and you don't have traditions passed down from your mother and father to follow. So all you can do is just live the life that you're in. And the life they put us in was a life a little below the life of monkeys, horses, mules, dogs, chickens, and whatnot. Oh, he's come to Philadelphia to teach in the brotherly love. hatred. No, I'm not here to teach hatred. I'm here to kill hatred. Sometimes we kill the creature and leave the egg unharmed. So pretty soon the house is infested again with germ-carrying pests. Because we killed the creatures but ignored their potent, fertile egg. The slave history, the slave mentality, is something that still hangs on in the total makeup of our people. It is a troublemaking ghost in the subconscious. And unless we bring it up so that the conscience can see it and deal with it, we'll be a long time still around here in slavery. The worst form of slavery is not the form that you understand to weight a man, a woman down with yokes and chains and whatnot. The worst form of slavery, brother and sister, is the slavery, is the enslavement, pardon me, of your mind. And many men and women go around thinking they're free while they are mentally a slave. The wisdom of this world is so deceitful. It has the power to escape your recognition and go into your mind without you observing it. There's a book out now on the market, Subliminal Seduction. If you haven't read that book, you should read it. Because this is our job today. Our job is not dealing with the visible. Our job is dealing with the invisible. And this book tells you how pictures are relayed on television. So fast and in such way that your physical eye never catches the picture. But the mind, being faster than the eye, catches the picture. And the picture goes into the mind without the mind's recognition or awareness. And with this kind of commercial poisoning and exploitation, they direct your behavior. I'm not telling you what we wrote. I'm telling you what they have written. They can make you eat more when they want you to eat more. They can make you eat the things you don't want when they want to make you eat those things. They create the appetite in you and send you out blindfold, not knowing what has happened, to get those things that they have made, created in you a hunger for. Right. This is not our knowledge, not our language. This is their trick, their scheme, their plot, and their language. They themselves have exposed themselves. All right. Why has Almighty God allowed this to come out? To help His chosen one that is dealing with a problem like this and having a hard time reaching you
will pass you so far from the tricks of the world. Your knowledge is so far from there, they have kept you out so long that you're just too far away from the sophisticated world of mind manipulation. And when we talk to you, we have to talk over and over again on the same thing. We have to repeat it over and over again,
yes,
hoping that maybe you'll get it the second time around,
yes,
or the tenth time around.
Yes,
but Almighty God, being present today, and He has manifested His presence, not just to be present, but to rule.
Yes, sir.
This is His day.
Yes, sir.
This is the Sabbath.
Right.
Not Saturday.
Yes,
not Sunday.
Right.
But every day now. Because the one for whom the Sabbath was made is here. So there's no need anymore to have a sign or religious ritual or service telling of something to come, because that something is here. Brothers and sisters, the biggest object of subliminal, right? Seduction. You know what seduction is? Comes from the word seduce. To seduce. The biggest object that you can find of subliminal seduction is the white If we could tell you this afternoon just how much that crucifix is loaded with messages that come to your mind without your knowledge and without your observation and direct your behavior, not in the way of God, but in the way of the big devil himself. We don't have time today, and we haven't included it today in our talk, but I only wanted to mention it to you while going into our talk for today. And that is the subject of remaking the world. Why I mention it is for this reason. There is wisdom that can unlock the chains on your mind. But that wisdom itself has been locked up with symbolic language that you can't understand without someone to show you the correct interpretation of that language. We want to begin this talk today of the remaking of the world, the call to you to remake the world, with some reading from Bible Genesis. I've heard some say, and it's nothing new, we don't need a lot of religion. That's been our problem, too much religion. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, He said, the graveyard of my people is the Bible. So if you are to be raised from the grave, you have to be raised from the grave of the Bible. So the work is not over. The Bible is still a graveyard. If you don't believe it, maybe you've been away from the church people for a while. Go back around the church people, visit them in the churches, and listen to what they're saying. If they have an appeal, if they attract you, then most likely it's because they have left the old church language and have taken on the language of the Nation of Islam. It's not good to leave a thing that has possessed you without understanding it. If you leave it without first understanding it, you haven't really left it. You have only brought about a physical separation between yourself and the thing that once possessed you. But that thing is still working in your hidden thoughts. And it's making you still behave in the order or in the way designed by that particular thing that possessed you. I remember hearing a woman once who said she was a Muslim and said she had been a Muslim for many years. And I happened to be blessed to be near her one day at a time when some bad news came to her. And the news was shocking and very saddening to her. And she cried out to Jesus. She said, have mercy, Jesus. And I didn't bring it to her attention that she was calling on one that in our religion is known to be a prophet and not Allah. I just observed it and kept quiet. After she got settled, she went right back into her Muslim talking ways. I don't think she ever realized yet that she still was plagued with a Christian mind. You may say, what is wrong with the Christian mind? Christ was a good man. Christ was righteous. That is true. The Christ, the prophet, was a good man, a righteous man. The greatest of the prophets to come to Israel, out to the Jews, as they are called. But the Jesus Christ that the average black man and woman have in their heart and mind is a devil. Oh, I'm ready to walk out of here now. This man stand up there and say that our Jesus Christ is a devil. No, I'm not saying that your Jesus Christ is a devil. I'm saying that the devil's Jesus Christ is a devil. The devil gave him to you. He was not yours. these people wasn't going to call white folks devils anymore. You're misunderstanding me. I'm not calling white folks devils. In fact, I'd like to see some white folks. I've never seen any white folks in my life. But if you're talking about the people who come sometime maple color, pink color, red color, red and blue color, gray color, high, yellow color, if you're talking about those people, who often have blonde hair and blue eyes. They're not calling those people devils. I'm calling the mind that has ruled those people and you. Ruled them for their glory and ruled you for your shame and damnation. If you were the children of Abraham, you would love me. He said, I know your father. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He said that their father was the devil. He said, and the work of your father you will do. Why they will do the work of their father? Because their father's mind still rule in their body. How can they do any work except the work of their father when they don't have a mind of their own? They have the mind of their father. I repeat, brother and sister. The mentality, the devil mentality, that germ that rules in the Caucasian body, ruling them for their glory and power over the world. The same they passed on to you, and it ruling you for your shame and your destruction. The scornest a messenger of that Caucasian mentality is the crucifix that they teach you to love and cherish in the Christian church. It has on it the image of a Caucasian man. They have made the Caucasian image to arouse in you sympathy, pity, tears for that particular Caucasian image. He has thorns sticking into the scalp of his head, nails driven through the palms of his hands, nails driven through his feet, and then a wound that's bleeding. A wound made by spear that went into his heart. And on top of that, you're told that he was driven up to this place of crucifixion. They beat him. They stoned him. They spat on him. And placed a heavy weight on his back for him to carry all the way to the place of his crucifixion. What weight was that heavy, heavy part? You sit in the church and you just get all upset. Your little sinful heart just starts trembling inside your chest. What kind of people would do a sweet man like that? Like they did this man. you accept him right away into your heart, into your arms, and into your home. You put him on your wall. And he's the only thing on your wall or in your house that you don't curse at. Most of you, no matter how good a Christian you say you are, when you get mad, you'll come out with all those big, unwritten adjectives. And as black as you say you are in your mind, with your natural, you pick up the word black and throw it at the members of your house, showing us that you still think it's an ugly word.
That's right.
You black SOB. You dirty, low, black MF. I told you, I don't go along to the formalities. I don't go along with the old formalities. Genesis and see if we can get some understanding of the Trinitarian ism that's taught in the church. It's very important to us. Let's go now to Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. And pardon me, I think first, because many of you are not too familiar with the Bible, I think first I should bring you up to this point. In the Bible, we are given a picture of a man that God makes from the ground. It says he made him from the dust of the earth. And in other places, the same body is called clay. That he made him from clay. What it means here is that he made him from earth without life. Dust is lifeless, and clay is lifeless. Dust has one symbolic message, and clay has another symbolic message. Dust means that there are some people like dust. When opposition comes against them, they can't stand. They're just blown everywhere. Then there are some people like clay. When opposition comes, they hold their shape. Opposition is called wind in Scripture. When the wind of opposition blows against the dust, it just scatters it everywhere. But if the wind of opposition blows against the clay form, it stands. And it takes a lot of wind to blow clay body away. Is that right? But in this clay body now, the clay is the vessel. The person is put into the clay, or created into the clay vessel, or in the dust. The book says that he formed the man of the dust of the earth. Is that right? And it says that he breathed into him, of his spirit. And he became a living soul. Think about this now. Before breath went into the vessel, he was not called a living soul. When you get this in the church, we think that it means that God formed us physically from the earth, and then he caused a spirit to come into us, and then we become a living soul. When we are formed out of the earth as human beings and we come in human form, we are already living. Before the form takes human shape, it's alive as a germ in the womb of his mother. And it grows over a period of about 9 months normally, is that right? When it comes out in human form, it's already alive. So it's not at that moment that it becomes a living soul. So we have in the Genesis a description of a human being shape. And the shape was there, but the being was not living. This is not talking about biological life. It's talking about divine life. There are many around on this earth right now. In fact, most of the people you see walking the earth, they are unborn Adam. They are creations from the earth that the divine has not entered. So they are dust of earth, and they are clay in the shape and in the image of people, but they are not people.
Yes, sir.
According to the language of the scripture.
All right.
Not my language, the language of the scripture. All right. Let's go now and see. You have a human image. A human image now. Looking at that image won't tell you whether the person is alive, humanly, or dead. Looking at the image doesn't tell you whether the person can even respond to you if you say something to them. You have to get some indication, or you have to have some kind of a communication with something behind the flesh before you can really know that this is indeed a living, full-formed human being. Is that right? The physical image may be a retarded person. Maybe just a lump of flesh with no ability to respond at all, except as flesh. We don't know until we have some kind of communication with that's in the flesh. Is that right? All right. Bear with us now. So the book teaches us that he made the man from the dust of the earth, formed him, and then breathed into him of his spirit. This is not the creation or the making of the first person on earth. This is the creation or the making of a divinely person on earth. This is a divine person that is being made. All right, let's go on now with this. In the human being, we have what the Bible calls Adam, which is nothing but the physical mate. Now that Adam doesn't become a living Adam until divine enters it. We have will. We have something called flesh, but I rather call it something else here. Let's see, can we get a better name for it here? Hoggishness. How you spell hoggish? H-O-G-I-S-H-N-E-S-S. Is that hoggishness? hoggishness. Then we have something else. See, we have 1, 2, 3 here. Keep that in mind. We have something else called wit. W-I-T. Wit. Now, wit is something in the intellect that glorifies in its own creation. Is that right? I want you to understand this now. I'm not talking about intelligence now. I'm talking about wit as a surface part of your intellect. Men battle each other with their wit. Is that right? And when one is losing the battle, we say seems that that particular person is coming to his or her wit's end. Is that right? Running out of the ability to show up knowledge. So here in this man that is made from the earth, we have something manifesting after he died. Listen to the language of this. Yeah, I know you got things to do, but this is very important, and you might not realize it, but this is wisdom, more Bible. In the working, in those workings that go to make for the development of the human world, this that we're talking about now is more valuable than anything you can get from the colleges and universities of the world. Right. Here. Let's go back to the gray board here now with light in it. It's all right. We have three things coming into being from the earth. We don't have the birth of Adam, do we? We are told that Adam was formed from the dust of the earth, meaning that Adam exists before the earth. If he was formed from the dust of the earth, that means that here we have dust now. We form dust together. Now, if we have Adam here in this dust, then Adam really existed in earth form before he came into man shape, our man human image. Is that right? What does this tell us? It tells us that in the dust, or in the earth, are the essence of human life. And that human life comes with the earth. Do you understand? So if human life comes with the earth, then whatever created the earth, in that was also human life. Right. Then human life has no beginning. It is from time unmarked or undesignated. We can't go back and mark the time for the beginning of the human being. But in this earthly shape, we say it began with the earth. Is that right? All right. Now, God in his language, he's telling us that the spirit or the life that is in the earth, the essence of the human life, existed before the earth. He tells us this with these words. He says that when I have breathed into him of my spirit, when I breathe into him of my spirit, he became a living soul. Is that right? A living soul. Meaning that he was dead because he was separated from the vine. Not because he didn't exist, but because he was separated from the vine. But once I put the vine back with him, once he's connected back with the vine, he becomes a living soul. Is that right? when the man was formed of the ground, he had already left the divine in him. He was already dead divinely. So when the breath of life came into him, it was not, as the Bible Genesis will make you think, the breath of divine origin. This breath was the breath of a grafted world. It was the breath of something false or contrary to divine. So what happened? The man came to life and he saw a need for a wife. Is that right? The Bible doesn't call it wife. It says that the man, if God saw that the man should not be alone. The man felt lonely. He needed something for himself. So the book says he made for him an helpmeet. And the word is spelled H-E-L-P. It's two words in the Bible. M-E-E-T. Helpmeet. This word helpmeet is referring to the physical environment that we come to life in. Not to a woman, as you have been taught. It's referring to the whole physical environment. In this early part of Genesis, it grows on to refer to the physical environment in its higher evolution.